It's This Week in Bourbon. It's what all the cool kids are listening to for bourbon news. And now here's your headlines for July 8th, 2022. Bardstown Bourbon Company has entered into an agreement to acquire Green River Spirits Company. Jackie Zykin announces her next venture called Hidden Barn. And Russell's Reserve 13 is now an annual release, with the next one coming soon. But before we get started, here is a quick word from our partners.
It's that time again to get bourbon strong with Give270. Purchase your $50 tickets for your chance to win from our 50 bourbon prizes. Don't miss out on rare bottles and grand prizes like the legendary Pappy Set, a Weller Rainbow, and the Blood Oath Trilogy. Hurry, only 3,000 tickets are available. Single bottle winners go back in for the grand prize draw. Will you win the ultimate Pappy Set or one of our other incredible prizes? Get your tickets now at Give270.org. Charitable gaming license ORG 000273.
It's that time of the year where everybody's starting to make their vacation plans on visiting Kentucky, the mecca of bourbon. And if you are coming to Kentucky, you need to make sure you visit us at Pursuit Spirits in Louisville. We're right in the heart of Clifton, near Butchertown and Nulu, and only just a few miles away from downtown Louisville. But when you do come, you need to book your experience to go do our whole shebang. This is the one that's really the star of the show. You get a full-on tasting. You get to do your own personal barrel selection experience. And you get to grab a whiskey thief and fill your bottle directly from the barrel. We're doing something completely brand new that nobody else is doing here in bourbon country. Plus, you get a free sweet tasting glass at the end of it. I guarantee you, you're going to end up being one of the many people that's also leaving us a 5-star review. So make sure you come and check us out. You can book your reservation by going to pursuitspirits.com and clicking the Visit Us button. From their bar to yours, Chad and Sarah of the popular YouTube channel It's Bourbon Night bring you their favorite at-home old-fashioned mix with the new Elemental Elixirs Golden Hour Syrup. It's a custom-made syrup with notes of bold black tea, warm spices, and orange zest. All you need is your favorite whiskey and ice. No bitters needed. One bottle makes 16 drinks, so that's only $1 cocktail before you add your own whiskey. They can also be enjoyed in other cocktails or spirits, mocktails, coffee, tea, and anything you can think of. It's crafted locally in Lexington, Kentucky, and you can get your bottle now at whiskeyambitions.com. Have you tried to identify specific notes in bourbon when nosing and tasting, but just come up empty? Well, you can train your nose to find all those nuances with a kit from Nose Your Bourbon. And unlike other nosing kits on the market, Nose Your Bourbon kits feature real ingredients for the most authentic aromas. So you can smell real Tahitian vanilla bean instead of some synthetic aroma made from chemicals. Head over to noseyourbourbon.com and enter the code BP10 for 10% off your order. Welcome back, everybody. This week in bourbon, yet another week, yet more bourbon news. And I almost stumbled and said like anal at the front of it, but it's annual, annual release. So.
Jeez, a lot's changed since I was gone for a week. It's gone triple X here.
We got anal releases. We got Jackie Zykin leaving. All kinds of things are happening.
Yep.
There's a lot of good news. I'm glad to have you back, though. I think
glad to be back.
There's a dynamic that misses when you're not here for This Week in Bourbon, because it just doesn't feel the same. It sure doesn't.
Yeah. We just need to relocate in the summer to Colorado. It's just no humidity. It's get to horseback ride, connect with nature. You know, here it's just a pit of hell where it's just hot, humid, sticky, sweat balls.
Well, that's what Stacy Pritchard over at Watch Hill Proper, we were there this past week selecting some Woodinville rye barrels, and she described our current weather as basically just putting on a wet, warm blanket, and that is exactly what it feels like. Yeah, it's the air is thick, it's just humid. I mean, if I didn't have AC, I'd probably be just miserable, so...
It's like taking a shower, a hot shower, then sitting in a sauna to try to dry off, or like a steam room.
Have you ever like worked out and then you try to take a shower real quick, and then after you get out of the shower, you're still sweating and you're like, this was and like the antithesis of what it's supposed to happen, because you're not supposed to feel that way. I hate that feeling.
Yeah, sometimes I do the cold shower and it really perks you up, get your heart going. but makes you feel better. But yeah, I've done that too, where you don't cool down. You just go in the shower hot and sweaty and you come out hotter than you were before.
Yeah. You're like, you're trying to fix your hair, but then you got beads of sweat rolling down and it just, it doesn't work.
No, I'm sure everybody's loving this.
Well, all right, here we go. On to bourbon. So this, of course, was news that happened last Thursday, but we record these on Wednesday. So if at some point somebody tries to send us a press release on a Thursday, and if it's, should I say, if it's past Wednesday at 2:30, it probably is not going to make it into This Week in Bourbon. It'll maybe past 5 p.m. But either way, this was big news that broke last week, is that Bardstown Bourbon Company, you all know them. We're a partner with them. We love them and everything like that. But they have announced an agreement to acquire Green River Spirits Company, which we've had Jacob Call of Green River on the show before, and they're producing some amazing liquid out there as well. But this acquisition is scheduled to close in July, and that's going to be subject to customary closing approvals and conditions. This transaction will bring together two leading Kentucky bourbon producers into a strong, independent spirits company with a commitment to Kentucky whiskey. Distilling more than 7 million proof gallons annually, Bardstown Bourbon Company is one of the top 10 distilled spirits producers in the country. As a complement to its innovative contract distillation capabilities, Bardstown Bourbon Company has steadily built its own brand through its award-winning Discovery, Fusion, and Collaborative series. Green River Spirits will add the Green River brand as well as two production sites, positioning the combined business for continued growth in both Kentucky whiskey and custom distillation. Bringing together the historic legacy of Green River and the modern bourbon experience at Bardstown Bourbon Company, this will provide an enticing and distinguished selection of Kentucky whiskey for bourbon drinkers and visitors. The acquisition includes the historic Green River Distilling Company in Owensboro, Kentucky, which is the 10th oldest distillery in the state, and a state-of-the-art spirits production facility in Charleston, South Carolina, which, if I remember correctly, that was for their old Terra Pure stuff. And this is in addition to its flagship Green River Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Green River Spirits Company has a vibrant contract distillation business producing whiskey, rye, vodka, rum, gin, and flavored whiskey.
It's glad to hear it finally come out. I think it's a huge win for current customers of Bardstown Bourbon Company, for us.
selfishly for us.
Yeah, it's you're glad to see, you know, with Pritzker, I think that's how you say it, Pritzker, but you're always worried when a private equity firm takes on an entity, and you never know what their strategy is going to be. Typically, it's to kind of make things as lean and efficient as possible and then get it packaged and ready to sell. But all we've heard is great things, and that they're wanting to invest in the spirits business and Bardstown Bourbon Company. And this is another sign that they're like really putting their roots into trying to capture and be a leader in the bourbon industry. So I'm happy to see this. I love Jacob Call at Green River, very talented distiller. He was, I remember going there when they were like brand new and they had the Jetson, you know, Terra Pure stuff,
the Jetsons of bourbon. I like that.
But, you know, I was more excited about his stuff that hadn't gone through the Terra Pure stuff. It was only like 1 or 2 years old at the time, and it was very good. And I was like, holy cow. And then, of course, when it hit 4 or 5, it was even more fantastic. And we have a few barrels there. I'm actually going there next week to taste them. So, but yeah, Green River's, you know, they've done a lot with the facility. It's not quite as, you know, polished, modern maybe, and polished as Bardstown Bourbon Company is, but it has a great new visitor center. They got a great like cocktail bar and VIP lounge up there now. So they're going to, I'm sure Bardstown will help, you know, improve that visitor experience there in Owensboro. And two, that facility is a workhorse also. It's a huge facility, the old Medley distillery. And then they got a ton of cool historical buildings and warehouses. And I think it's just a win-win for everyone. And I'd be interested to see what happens with, you know, what do they do with the Green River brand, what do they do with the contract distillation at Green River versus their, you know, and do they take some of the aged product and use it for Bardstown stuff or vice versa, or how's it all going to play out? So I guess we'll keep you all in the loop and see what kind of barrels we have access to here soon.
I guess that's probably the best way to spread that information. But I honestly thought this was a very interesting acquisition. I kind of look at it as, was somebody from Green River, did they say, maybe it was like top leader level of ownership, they want to just go find somebody to kind of sell out to because they were done with it, and there might have been multiple people that were looking at this, or whether it was Pritzker and Bardstown that were shopping and saying, we need to scale and we need to do it now. What's the easiest way to do this? Well, let's go find somebody else that does contract distillation and go ahead and start opening stuff up there. Because if I remember correctly, when we interviewed Jacob Call, we talked about the contract stuff, but he kind of made it sound like they wanted to start reducing contract and start building up the Green River brand. And so it wasn't just going to be a big contract facility. But who knows, if you have the capacity to keep distilling, people want to buy it. And we all know how hard it is to start a brand and make that a nationwide staple. And so it's not like they can come out on day one and all of a sudden Green River is a bottle that's across the shelves on nationwide and people are eating it up and you've got reorders that are being fulfilled from distributors. Like, it's going to take time to build a brand like that to be like an Elijah Craig or something. So if you have the distilling capacity, you're not going to just not distill, but yeah, instead you can just keep selling those barrels and kind of putting them on the open market. So I don't know. I'm hypothesizing right now, but I look at it as a way that they could potentially, offload some of that stuff. And I'm taking it from another angle of, okay, if I was Green River top level executive versus if I'm Jacob and, I care about, the brand and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, obviously I think they'll keep the Green River brand, but I believe that Green River was more swayed that they were allocating barrels towards the Green River brand for the future of that versus contract distilling. Whereas BBC was, mostly contract distilling a little bit and then I think the problem BBC has had is that, when they started distilling 5 or 6 years ago, and this is all pure speculation, they just don't have enough inventory to satisfy the needs for themselves and for their existing customers that need more product. Like, somebody like us, it's impossible to get BBC distillate that's in the 4 and 5 year range. And I don't know, this gives them access to aged inventory. Maybe they don't use it for themselves, but they can offer it to their existing clients. And two, it offers them still space because they're on a 3 to 4 year wait list, for new contracts.
Yeah. I'm sure there's people with
much better ideas
of where the vision of future is going, and other than us just kind of like hypothesizing about it. But I'm sure we will be able to hear more about this in due time, and we'll make sure we share that with you as well.
It is fascinating because I still don't quite understand the whole, Green River and Terra Essentia, Terra Pure. Like, I don't know if like the Green River facility is just like in the one in Charleston, that's just like a little piece of like a bigger company, and Terra Essentia is keeping, or whatever that company is keeping a bigger piece, but this is a small, I don't know.
It might have been a deal where you kind of had to take it all and there was no piece parting it out. And so if it's a package deal, then they come and they have to take Green River, plus they're going to take the Terra Essentia stuff. And who knows, maybe Bardstown ends up spinning off the Terra Essentia thing and they're like, okay, this will go to the highest bidder because we don't want to mess with this. Or, it's like everything else. Like, there's innovations that are happening across the entire portfolio and they can use that for literally anything else. So if they want to use it for their rum or their vodka, or they just want to make another whiskey and put it out there because, it's overnight bourbon, maybe that's something that you can do. I feel that we're going to be in this weird pinch for the next few years where people are trying to get product out the door. We just said it ourselves. We can't get product. And so how do you make a 2-year-old whiskey taste like a 4 or 5 year old? Well, first you toast it. But then after that, maybe putting it to Terra Essentia or something like that, right? But there's different ways that people are going to try and,
Yeah, not that it would come into the U.S. market, but there's a lot of overseas market that was going to, that Terra Essentia process or whatever.
Yes, especially US like consumers, India and stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, the U.S. consumers clearly were, not okay with it, so.
That'll tell you something. All right, let's keep going. We got a lot of news to still go through here. So our second headline was, of course, about Jackie. Everybody kind of knew about this that happened this past week, but Jackie was hired by Old Forester in 2015, and she was already legendary in the bartending world for her palate and being rumored to have correctly identified several vodka samples in a blind tasting. However, throughout her tenure at Old Forester, she was responsible for sensory analysis of whiskey, both for standard and special releases, as well as the single barrel program. Now, after 7 years and what many would consider a dream job, Jackie has announced that she'll be leaving Old Forester on July 1st, which is plenty already passed, and she has partnered with 5280 Whiskey Society founder Nate Weininger and 5280 founding member Matt Danker and Royce Neely to create a new brand called Hidden Barn. And Royce Neely, of course, is of Neely Family Distillery here in Kentucky. So Weininger and Danker had already been working with Neely to secure the barrels necessary to put out their first release. And now all they needed was Jackie to do the blending and the branding. The brand is distilled by Royce Neely at Neely Family Distillery and likely will always be, though this brand is separate from Neely's own brands. And this new brand's name is called Hidden Barn. The concept pays tribute to the black barns that dot the countryside of Kentucky covered in Bedonia fungi that were grown, actually is grown where ethanol is meeting in the air. You can learn more about Hidden Barn at HiddenBarnWhiskey.com and bottles will be available to purchase later this month.
Yeah, I read about this, I guess, on, when did it break? Like Monday or Tuesday?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, we talked about it in the round table that you weren't here for, but it was now the curtain has been removed.
Right, yeah.
Now we know exactly what she's doing with herself, so.
Yeah, I found it interesting. I just had no idea what she was going to do. I didn't know if she was going to go, like, to another company that was newer, you know, like Blue Run or something, or if she was going to do her own thing. This is an interesting concept. She's a fantastic blender, fantastic palate. So it'd be interesting, you know, seeing, obviously it sounds like she's going to be working with younger distillate and more craft stuff. So to see her use her creative mind to like make something that's really good and appealing to a whiskey geek using younger product. Well, hell, Old Forester is probably 4 years old. So, you know, so yeah. Maybe it's not too much difference, but it's going to be interesting. Here, I was reading, you know, she's excited about doing smaller blend batches versus, you know, hundreds and thousands of barrels with Old Forester. So, yeah, I found it interesting. I'm still trying to wrap my head around, like, okay, how's this like a scalable brand?
Business.
It seems like it's like a very small niche kind of thing, but hell, I don't know. Sounds cool.
And if you haven't heard about Neely Family Distillery, now you will. This will put them on the map. For anybody that is
right,
just kind of on the outskirts of bourbon, if like you're into bourbon but you haven't heard or been around Kentucky, I have yet to try any of the Neely family whiskeys, so I can't talk about it. I can't say anything beyond that. I know we should be receiving a sample sometime soon of this new brand, so we'll be able to kind of see what she's working with. But yeah, as you kind of mentioned, it's tough to sit here and talk about scaling a brand at a craft distillery because it depends on how far you can go. You know, if you're dumping 150 barrels, you know, maybe in 6 months, like that could be all a craft distiller can actually pump out an entire year sometimes. So it's going to be interesting to kind of see. I mean, they can probably do more than that, but
I'm sure they'll probably source from, I think I read too, there's like, they're not saying that everything's going to be coming from.
You got to read between the lines there. That's for sure.
I'm sure the usual suspects will make their way in there. Some Indiana, some Sazerac. Yeah,
when you want to scale, that's how it works. Now, the other thing that I thought was interesting, I'm going to play a little bit of devil's advocate right here, was because we all know at this point, you listen to us and we've talked about it a thousand times, to do anything in the whiskey world, it takes at least 6 months. I would imagine that these conversations had been going on for like 1 or 2 years to even figure out exactly like how you're going to do this. And if I was Brown-Forman, I would feel, bringing back the butt stuff here, I'd feel a little butthurt if I was Brown-Forman because you put in your 2 weeks notice and then 2 weeks later, you come out with your own whiskey. I mean, I know there's moonlighting is a thing, but here's the thing is like, I do tech and I do bourbon. Like they're not competing with each other, right? It almost feels like if I was working at my tech company, but I was also trying to build a startup at the same exact time, and I was building my own technology, and I was leaving my company to go and launch this, there could be a lot of conflicting things that could happen there. So I look at it and I think, gosh, if I was Brown-Forman, I'd be like, so you're telling me you haven't blended any of these beforehand, and I don't know. It just feels like it's a tough one to kind of roll the dice at there.
Well, and who knows how long they've known that she's had this project in the works. And
true.
you know, who knows? I don't know. I'm going to play the other devil's advocate.
She was going out to Colorado quite a bit on her Instagram stories, right?
A lot of camping.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's weird. I don't know how it is to work like a big corporation like that if you're, you know, you're their master blender or taster, and like what, I guess, non-compete type of clauses are in there, and like how far back can they go, or how do they, I don't know.
Yeah. It's true. I don't know about that. And I know that even if you do have a full-time job, it depends on your agreement that you have with your company, because you could go and do consulting on the side. You know, you take PTO off and just go do consulting for whatever, whether it's, you know, in your particular field or if it's not. It just seems a little, because I just thought it just felt a little weird, because only...
It does seem like it's pretty soon, you know, after she
quick.
Announced that...
It's quick.
Okay, we have one ready.
Yeah, 2 weeks, we're going to have our first whiskey release. I was like, wait a minute. Like, that takes 6 months at the minimum to get something going. So it had to been going even further than that. So that's where I was just like, I don't know. I'm not saying I'm not happy for it. I'm just trying to poke holes in the scenario. That's what we do best here.
You're just trying to cause drama. Thanks.
I know. I know. Well, I mean, like I said, the proof is going to be in the whiskey. I can't wait to try it, and we'll be able to talk about it on another future whiskey quickie as well.
Yep.
All right. Those were the two big headlines. Let's go ahead with some other kind of news here that's happening as well. So Millstone Spirits Group is the ownership arm of New Liberty Distillery, as well as other known brands. They've announced that former Philadelphia Eagle and noted philanthropist Malcolm Jenkins as a board member and investor, along with his company holdings of Malcolm Inc. Under the helm of master distiller Robert Castle, New Liberty Distillery has developed and deserved a reputation for unique and authentic craft spirits. With two-time world champion and venture capitalist Jenkins joining the ranks, the duo has plans to develop and distill a bourbon aimed at highlighting the disparity and lack of diversity plaguing the craft spirits industry by sourcing barley, wheat, rye, and corn exclusively from black and brown farmers. Yeah.
I like Malcolm Jenkins.
I don't know my NFL that well, apparently. I couldn't tell you. Like, oh yeah, he had this many touchdowns and ran for this. I was like, I got nothing.
Yeah, you don't do fantasy, do you?
I do fantasy, but it's like on auto draft.
But not that Malcolm doesn't play offense, so he's not somebody you would draft. But anyways, he was a hell of a defensive back. So
all right, I'm glad you're here to save us from not being a bunch of like idiots that don't know anything about sports. So I appreciate you throwing that out there.
NFL's way better in college, so you gotta
see. I like college. I like college sports a heck of a lot more, because there's a chance. I think that something's going to get messed up. Like, you know, a punt can get blocked, a field goal could be missed, and professional, it's like a 95% chance it all goes according to plan.
I don't know. Did you not see the Super Bowl where Russell Wilson tried to throw a pass at the 1 yard line and the Patriots intercept it, you know, to end the game, and you think like, okay, of course they're gonna,
there's every once in a while there is a fluke that happens.
Yeah, but
the ball was deflated anyway, so it didn't count.
That's right.
So capitalizing on the strong growth and growth potential of its American whiskey portfolio, Pernod Ricard is creating a dedicated business unit called the American Whiskey Collective, and it's to manage the marketing and production of its premium American whiskey brands. The chairman and CEO of Pernod Ricard North America said that the new entity will accelerate the company's journey to become the leading player in American whiskey in both U.S. and global markets. The new dedicated unit will be responsible for achieving the business objectives and leading future strategy development for Pernod Ricard's American whiskey brands, while also leveraging the company's broad network to drive global growth. In recent years, Pernod Ricard created two similar entities, which is called the Gin Hub and the House of Tequila, to drive even greater success in their respective spirits categories. American whiskey sales are expected to account for a significant amount of Pernod Ricard's total volumes within the next 5 to 10 years, and the company's American whiskey export business also has enormous growth potential as well.
All right. It's good news for all American whiskey.
For Jefferson's and Smooth Ambler and TX and I'm missing one in there. Rabbit Hole. Yes.
Rabbit Hole. Yep.
Yeah. So, heck, if they could have more people do more marketing, that's what you need. Got to be out there and boots on the ground, liquid to lips, as they say, right?
Sell, sell, sell.
Yeah. So here's a quick one. New Rift Distilling has broken ground for its new barrel storage warehouse. However, it's not in downtown, or should I say whatever the part of Northern Kentucky that where the their typical warehouse is. Instead, this is going to be in Campbell County. So the 55,000 square foot Northern Kentucky warehouse will include a capacity for 40,000 barrels and will create 5 new jobs. The new warehouse will add to Northern Kentucky's Bourbon Trail, also known as the Beeline, which will expand the bourbon experience for Kentuckians and visitors. The New Rift Distillery warehouse is expected to be fully operational by 2024.
Nice. The Buzik's Blinko's building that one too?
I don't know. I mean, don't know. You have their main warehouse. If I had to guess, my thoughts are going to go no. And this is why. So they have their main big cement warehouse or whatever that actually has the Buzik,
the ricks in it.
The ricks in it and stuff like that. And then they have their other warehouses that are just palletized. And so if I had to guess, they're going to go palletized. I could be wrong, but when I know talking from Ken from our one podcast together, he knows costs and he knows sort of like what goes into it. And I would imagine that they're going to be comfortable just sitting on a bunch of pallets of bourbon and they'll be fine.
I'm curious the case volume New Rift's up to now. We'll never have any idea, right? But
everybody holds that information close. Who knows?
I know. I don't know why. I'd be like, badge of honor.
Yep. They want to make sure they hold that information. Like it's proprietary or something. I don't know. Are you a Star Wars fan by any chance?
No, zero.
Me neither. But I know there's probably a lot of other Star Wars fans out there. And Disney has unveiled its newest menu item from the Star Wars themed lounge on the new Disney Wish cruise ship. And it comes with a price tag that many may break the Jar Jar Banks. Anyway, oh, this week, I'm just taking it straight from a news article there. I can't take credit for these bad jokes. They're actually great jokes, whatever.
Are you sure you want a PR firm?
This week, some special guests were given a sneak peek at Disney's newest boat, including its hyperspace lounge, which is decked out with galactic themed decor. While the almost 1,119 foot ship features a variety of other attractions. However, there's one cocktail on the Hyperspace Lounge's menu that snagged most of the spotlight, and it's called the Kyber Crystal, and it costs a cool $5,000. So,
oh boy.
The Kyber Crystal is named for an in-universe relic, is actually four drinks. And according to Nexstar Scott Gustin, who is aboard the special sneak peek this week, he confirmed the cocktail's contents of a Camus Cognac 4.16, Yuzu and Kumquat, Grand Marnier Quintessence, and three shots. You have a Pappy Van Winkle Family Reserve 23-year-old bourbon, Taylor Kingsman Edition Very Old Tawny Port, and Wintershins Gin. All of this is housed inside of a Camtono, which is a cylindrical storage box seen in the Star Wars universe. And the $5,000 also comes with a special themed escort off the ship, in addition to a visit to Skywalker Ranch, which is the work base of the Star Wars mastermind George Lucas. The Wish will take its maiden voyage on July 14th from Port Canaveral, Florida, towards its destination of Disney's private island in the Bahamas.
Sounds like a Star Wars LIT bucket kit.
You got 9 straws coming out.
Yeah. And you get an escort to come with you. No, I'm kidding.
I'll be like, do they escort you off because you're an idiot and you paid $5,000 for a drink?
Right.
Be like, you gotta get out of here.
This was the test that you're too into Star Wars. You need help.
I mean, I know that Star Wars has a massive following. Like they've got, 42,000 movies and a massive ecosystem built around it. But man alive, a $5,000 drink. I'm sure there's going to be some people that bite into it, but I'd be interested to see what that escort is like.
I was listening to something about Star Wars fans, like most of them are atheists, and they were like, really? You're an atheist? You wait in line for 5 hours for a Star Wars like shoe to come out or something? That's your religion. It's crazy how Star Wars is such a religion to some people.
Well, I mean, it's a cult phenomenon. I mean, that's what it is. And I think we talked about this at dinner the other night. I was like, I've never seen one Star Wars. I've watched part of whatever number one was, because my daughter wanted to watch it. She fell asleep within the first 20 minutes. So I said, okay, that's easy. I can turn it off. But I do love, and I'm a huge fan of Spaceballs. Spaceballs the movie. I'm a big fan of that one.
Never seen of it.
Golly. Oh, it's a Mel Brooks classic. We got to get you watching that one.
Who's Mel Brooks?
Oh, my God. Like Young Frankenstein? Frankenstein? You got nothing here?
Yeah, I'm like,
God, you haven't
Malcolm Jenick. It's like Malcolm Jenkins to you.
Maybe it is.
Yeah.
All right. You stick with sports. I'll go with my 80s movies. There we go.
Yeah. I'll have to put Spaceballs on the Plex.
It's worth it. It's worth it. I promise you. My Schwartz is bigger than yours. All right. Let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll be back with some more bourbon release news. If you're anything like me, then you can't get enough about bourbon. And that's why I'm a subscriber to Bourbon Plus magazine. Bourbon Plus is a quarterly publication that tells the stories from the heart of bourbon. The farmers who grow the grain, the distillers who labor over the process, and the people, like you and me, who raise their glasses to celebrate it all. Subscribe to Bourbon Plus magazine today at bourbonplus.com, that's P-L-U-S.com, and use code PURSUIT at checkout for $5 off your subscription. Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point-of-sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. And with Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. And you can get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/bourbon, all lowercase, and go to shopify.com/bourbon to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/bourbon. Here we are, some bourbon release news coming at you. And I finished that up saying my Schwartz is bigger than yours, but you don't understand that one. And you don't understand the yogurt. I hate yogurt. Even with strawberries.
Sounds funny.
I know. It's swinging another miss. But okay, let's keep going here. So there's a new bourbon brand. However, it was created for the British market. So Culper Brothers 355 Bourbon is the UK's first veteran-owned bourbon brand. Four brothers-in-arms from the British Army partnered with Blackbridge Distillery, again, which is another veteran-owned. And so it's 15 years of submarine service in the Royal Navy. This is a whiskey, sorry to say, it's a bourbon that's 86 proof. It is sourced, and they're talking about that as well. It's another five-year MGP. It's of their wheated mash bill, 51% corn, 45% wheat, 4% malted barley. This is a single-barrel expression, non-chill filtered, available exclusively on Amazon UK, and has an SRP of £55. But they do say that the 21% rye and 95% rye variants will be available later this year.
Sounds unique.
I love being able to see like available exclusively on Amazon UK. Like, we need this in America.
That's like a slap in the face.
How easy that is. I mean, they're just like, oh, okay, just put it in an Amazon distribution warehouse and you can just point people to Amazon and prime it over to you. Man, how
one day, amazing. One day.
Yeah, I'm not going to hold my breath for that one. I think it'll be a while to go, but really cool to kind of see a veteran-owned brand, actually a UK veteran-owned brand, actually coming out and making a bourbon for their particular market. So,
yeah, and they keep it at the bourbon gospel. I like it.
They keep it at a relatively decent price too, £55. I mean, you're probably, I didn't do my conversion rate, but I think it's around like $70 US, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's fair. That's about right.
I'm gonna look. £55 of USD. Oh, that was pretty close. $65. So, being able to get it across the pond and put it on a warehouse shelf or something like that. So,
it's Ross and Squibb.
There we go. You're right. It's Ross and Squibbs. Man, we haven't said Ross and Squibb in a while. People are probably wondering what happened.
We were on a tangent there for a bit. They're probably like, just call it, take it back to MGP.
Yeah, there we go. All right. So now that Jackie's out, Old Forester's figured out what to do, but they're already coming out with their next installment of the 117 series, and it's called Whiskey Row Fire. So this commemorative bottle honors the 7th anniversary of the fire on Whiskey Row that nearly destroyed the historic block. On July 7th, 2015, A four-alarm fire ravaged the buildings on historic Whiskey Row in downtown Louisville. Teams of brave Louisville first responders were able to contain and extinguish the catastrophe, preventing the site for the Old Forester Distillery at 117 and 119 West Main Street. The block is now home to restaurants, bars, a hotel, and other businesses, and has become a tourist destination. In 2020, men and women of Louisville Fire, many of whom fought the blaze, selected 8 single barrels from a lot filled the same day they extinguished the fire. All 8 barrels sold out in 2 days, and the proceeds were donated to Louisville Firefighter Disaster Fund. The remainder of the barrels filled that day slumbered an additional 2 years in the warehouse and are now batched together to create the 117 series Fireman Barrels. At nearly 7 years old, these barrels are fully mature and wise in character. Old Forester Whiskey Row Fire is bottled at 100 proof and will be available starting July 7th at the retail shop at Old Forester Distilling Company for $60.
And those are 375s, right?
I believe so. Yeah, I believe they're 375s is what the 117 release comes out to. But I do remember this fire happening. Yeah. Do you remember that?
I do too. Yeah. Yep. Definitely.
I mean, it was 2015. It was a few months after we started the podcast, and I remember the helicopters and the pictures and all that sort of stuff because we were really just getting into bourbon then, and everybody was like, oh crap, there went all the investments that people were making into Whiskey Row right there. And that's the home of what you see now, Old Forester. It's the Hotel Distill. It's everything that's right there was just under a huge blaze of fire.
I know. I remember at the time there was like a lot of, because the Historical Society was like really strict about redoing that whole thing. And I think like at the time people were speculating, is this just like to like say, F you, we're going to burn the damn thing down and start over, or, you know?
Yeah, right. I heard some other speculation that the guy that owned a lot of it was trying to get out from underneath of it. And that was just another way that he could. I don't think arson was planted on him by any means. But if I do remember correctly, there was a blamed it on an electrical fire is what it came down to, because they were doing active, I don't want to say, building, maybe reconstructive maintenance, because that thing was almost needed to be torn down. And so that's why if you go around there, you'll see the facade of one building that remains there. And that's essentially what they were going to do. And it took a lot of money for people to go and restore that building.
Yeah. Same thing happened with the Michters. Well, their damn floor filter or something.
I mean, Angel's Envy had plenty of problems too, because I don't know, people just want to buy these old buildings and think that like, oh, it'll be great. And then all of a sudden, nothing, even the bricks are falling apart.
Yeah, nothing's stable. But I always like these 117s. They're fun, unique. Mm-hmm. And 375s are good. You know, get more out to people.
Spread
the love. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I'm not I don't know much about country music. I'm not going to claim to be, but I do know of our next person. I'm sure a lot of people know about it as well. But Silver Screen Bottling, they recently teamed up with country music legend Alan Jackson for a new whiskey, and it's named for the color of the singer's signature cowboy hat, Silver Belly. The Country Music Hall of Fame member handpicked the premium whiskey cask with a new spirit that would represent his brand. And the distiller's notes come from Jackson's daughter, sommelier, and USA Today's best-selling author, Maddie Jackson Seligman. The whiskey is currently available in stores in Tennessee and will be soon available nationwide. It can be pre-ordered online at silverbellywhiskey.com. It's $40 and 91 proof.
Is it hotter than a Hoochie Coochie? I couldn't help myself.
I'm glad you know a few lyrics we'll throw out there.
I love Alan Jackson. I mean, gosh, it was a couple. We were at the lake Memorial Day, I think, and I put on his greatest hits, and he's got a ton of great country songs. I love that like early to mid 90s country genre. He had like Garth Brooks, Clint Black, Alan Jackson, you know, just some all star singers then.
Because it was like some good hootenanny kind of music or what?
It was still when it was just like good storytelling, good fun. It wasn't like bro country. Now it's like get my truck, watch my cup, spit the dip tonight.
Go and chase some ladies or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it's no when the thunder rolls. How about that?
Oh yeah, that's a good one. Garth. God, love Garth.
All right. So this is a big one we talked about in the top here, is that the straight out of the Commonwealth of Kentucky comes the highly anticipated second release of Russell's Reserve 13-year-old bourbon. It's the oldest expression of the core range ever released by the favorites of Russell's Reserve. It honors the family ties that bind Russell's Reserve 13-year as a fitting offering to celebrate master distiller Eddie Russell, who celebrated his 41st anniversary at the distillery this summer, and pays tribute to the distillery's heritage and legacy pioneered by celebrated master distiller Jimmy Russell. The exemplary 13-year-old bourbon showcases his son's Eddie's innovative talents and expert ability to develop complex flavors through careful aging and a keen sense for identifying only the highest quality barrels. Eddie Russell first introduced the 114.8 proof Kentucky Straight Bourbon back in June of 2021, serving as a shining example of the Russell's family mastery of bourbon making. By maintaining the barrel proof and opting to not chill filter, the 13-year-old whiskey, Eddie says, retains all the natural character of the bourbon. And bourbon lovers can rejoice that this celebrated whiskey will return with a limited batch and will continue to be released annually in small quantities moving forward. This will be available nationwide at $100 SRP. At select retailers across the U.S.
All right.
There's a lot of buzzwords that were thrown in there. Paying tribute, exemplary, master of bourbon making. Like, we've hung out with Eddie enough that, you know, he just loves hanging out and trying barrels. So it's
like, pretty much. Like,
I'm
pretty good. It's like that song, I'm pretty good drinking beer. I think it's,
he's pretty good.
He's like, bourbon. I'm pretty good drinking bourbon. And that would be his song.
I mean, when I read that, I felt like there should be like this montage of like Eddie and video of like in a very dark warehouse and like slowly inspecting the barrels, but it's not like that at all.
Walking slowly, you know.
It's not as romantic as people think. They've got a spreadsheet that says, hey, here are all the barrels that are 13 years and older. Go pull from them and try and make sure they're okay. That's really what it comes down to.
Well, didn't that Shay, I can't remember her last name. She's now with...
Oh, from Blue Run?
Yeah, didn't she like help with last year's batch or something? I don't know.
I don't know. Apparently she sniffed her way to making the best whiskey.
Right.
That's what it was.
She was pregnant.
Yeah. So she couldn't even drink it. So she just sniffed it. And all of a sudden she made the best whiskey in the world.
She got the gold nose. Yeah.
I guess.
Thought last year's Russell's 13 was really good. Some people think that they just like, you know, their standard 10-year-old single barrel. And I'm like, of course you're going to like a cherry picked barrel, you know, that you picked over a blend of tons of barrels. But I don't know. I thought it was really fantastic. I enjoyed it very much, and I'm excited to try it again.
I have not had the Russell Reserve 13, and we
haven't.
No,
oh, I'll bring it over to you.
See, but I remember having this discussion with an earlier podcast, and it was with me, Fred, and Mark Rucker from the Bourbon Life, and I kind of talked about, and I'm still sticking by this only because I haven't tried it yet. It's like, is there a huge difference between a 10-year-old bourbon and a 13-year-old bourbon when you're trying them side by side? Now, 1 and 4, like that difference is great, or 1 and 3, but 10 to 13, I don't know how much variation you're going to get. And to say that this is going to be commending the price, or actually $100 isn't too bad, but commending the secondary price versus just getting another solid Russell's Reserve pick, I don't know. I feel like there's a big imbalance.
You just always like to find the negative.
I do. I'm very pessimistic tonight. It's very pessimistic. I'm like, what can I put holes in?
More?
I know. I'm just trying to. You're right. Maybe I'm just not happy with myself, and I'm taking it out on everybody else, and that's what it is.
So what's going on, Kenny? What's the deep down issue?
Yeah. I know. Maybe I need to take some introspection on myself and look deep into my soul and figure out what the heck's going on with me. Why do I hate everything?
You hate every release announced tonight so far.
True. I'm at least excited. I haven't hated them all. You're right. I kind of did, didn't I? The only thing I didn't tell much about the Alan Jackson one because I don't really know much about Alan Jackson. It didn't say where the whiskey was distilled from anyway. So who knows? Could be Dickel. Could be wherever. But anyway, it's Tennessee.
Could be Georgia.
It could be from wherever. Well, I'm just glad they didn't say it'd be one more thing I'd have to stick my mouth and put in. So, all right. So this is our last one. And thankfully, I don't think I can ruin this one too much because it's actually not bourbon. But I saw this and, you know, everybody's on the RTD craze. I said, heck, let's go ahead and talk about it anyway. So Diageo, you know, Diageo, they own Bulleit. They own a bunch of different stuff. However, they are now going into a collaboration with the Vita Coco Company. And they are announcing a collaboration to launch a line of premium canned cocktails crafted with a delicious blend of Captain Morgan rum and the refreshing taste of Vita Coco coconut water. So these rum-based cocktails, and should I say, it says in the United States, rum-based cocktails are growing at 269% with a widely recognizable peanut.
You go from zero to...
you go to zero to something.
Zero to 260 cans. It's
yeah, I guess you're right. You can kind of put these numbers and fudge them however you want, right?
Yeah.
But it's going to be called Vita Coco Spiked with Captain Morgan. And this spirits line will be available with three delicious offerings, all starting with a perfectly balanced blend of the iconic Captain Morgan Caribbean white rum and Vita Coco's refreshing tasting coconut water. So you have the Pina Colada, which is finished with a flavor of fresh ripe pineapple, creamy coconut, and dark rum notes. The Strawberry Daiquiri, which is finished with a flavor of fresh picked strawberries, ripey juicy lime, and fruity rum notes. The Lime Mojito is finished with the flavor of fresh muddled garden mint, ripey lime juice, and of course a touch of simple syrup. These will be bottled at 5% ABV, sold in 12-ounce cans, and has a suggested retail price of $15 for a 4-pack, and will be expected to hit shelves in early 2023. So you got some time.
What's the sugar content on those?
Did not say, but is there a bunch of sugar in Vita Coco or something? Or is there a bunch of sugar in Captain Morgan?
Well, both. And I'm sure all the fruit flavors they're adding in there.
Yeah.
So it's like the bourbon boom. The Buzicks are making all the money with the warehouses, with RTDs, Flavor Man's making all the money on all these flavors.
You just don't mind the gold, sell the shovel. That's what it comes down to.
But I do like these RTDs. Well, some of them are really good. Some are very bad, but I love pina coladas, so I'd be happy. I do like Vita Coco, the regular flavor. Like if you get the pineapple or any other, they're too sweet for me. But and I like coconut anything.
I like mojitos.
I think there should be a coconut. If we can get that toasted coconut rum from Heart Truth and an RT, that stuff. Good Lord, that's good.
Yeah. Well, at some point they're gonna come out with it and be like, "Dang it, that was our idea. We did it first. We thought about it." I don't know. Maybe that'll be the next venture. We'll have to figure out how to do something with RTDs. So I feel that, we've already missed the boat. One or the other. It's already made the 269% bump. So we're gonna
maybe we missed the boat on bourbon already.
I mean, I didn't include it in here, but there was a news article that said that, of course, mezcal and tequila are at all time higher rates than whiskey is and stuff like that. And I'm like, dang it, not again.
Well, we already talked about that.
There was another article, and this one came out by IWSR. So more research to show that those are on the incline. But come to think about it, everything's on the incline. People are drinking. So I guess that all works out at the end of the day.
No, they start with tequila, they end with bourbon. That's
the best way to look at it. And
yep,
no matter what, good economy, bad economy, people are going to drink anyway.
That's right.
But that'll do it for this week in bourbon. We'll be back next week with even more bourbon news. Who knows? Maybe a good surprise. I'll try not to be so pessimistic and you know, taking a dump on everything. But with that, cheers, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Less potty mouth, too. Toodles.